Хорошо.
Okay.
Познайте еще раз.
Give God glory.
У нас есть еще одно уникальное
I have one more unique testimony. It's a wonder and a sign and a wonder what the Lord had did with the Lord. Vadik, come here.
Знаете,
you know?
Это мой брат.
This is my brother.
Знаете, это одно из,
you know, this is one of those things that I carry in my life for many, many years. My prayers never end about him. They'll never end. I believe that this is it. This is it. This is the last stop, beloved. A couple of words. It's on. It's wonderful to see all of you. I want to share a couple of words. I don't have much. I wanted to say that, praise the Lord, that He hears the prayers and the... In my young age, I've gotten to such a place that it was even embarrassing to ask for forgiveness from the Lord. And I'm thinking, should I go back? At least maybe I'll be even with the pigs if the Lord will give me that. But I don't even have that. And my soul is just dried out and dying. And I'm looking for life. And I said, Lord, you help me. Because they wanted to lock me up for 10 years. And I said, Lord, if you will deliver me, that I will tell everybody that you are great. And now I'm telling everybody that he is big and great. He is real and true. May he be blessed. The Lord heard my prayer. The Lord loves me. He blessed me. We never should forget that. You know how they say, if alarm, then you run to the Lord. But that is true. If there's some sort of alarm happening, then you run to the Lord. May the Lord bless every one of you. Let Him give you the best, because we are the family. We're one family. The Lord loves each and every one of you. Do not forget that ever, ever. Don't let the devil lie to you. Because the devil is a liar. He came to steal, to destroy, and to kill him. But the Lord came to open the doors. Glory all goes to Jesus. Yeah, this is my youngest brother. Oh, Lord, I ask you to just capture him away so that he wouldn't go anywhere. Okay. You know, my family, like none other, we know what it is, street pain to be left. I'll say this, beloved. Every one of us has our own path, but I believe that my whole family, all my children, all of them belong to Jesus Christ. Pray for your family, no matter what. You know, I ask God often this question. I said, Lord, I personally see with my own eyes where around me thousands are being saved. Thousands. I said, Lord, I ask you, please give me like every one of us when this is your something that's related to you, it's closer to you. And Father told me, son, you have to understand, don't look at things with physical eyes. These are all my children. It's you discern it by blood or not by blood. But he said, when you will come to me, there is no blood. There is no family relations. All there is just a generation of Jesus Christ. And I said, that's it, Lord. I believe that the time will come for my family as well. I will not put away your work. I will go and do it. I will go and save those that are ready at the moment for the salvation and changes. I'm thankful to God. Praise Jesus. Let's welcome our virtual church. Our virtual church members, international audience. Lord, thank you for every one of them. You know, by just returning from an occasional conference in Germany, again, it was something special. I can't really explain it to you if you weren't there. But just being in the atmosphere, you can clearly put a price on what is the real presence of God, what it is. You know, I'll say this. God is present everywhere, but he doesn't move everywhere. He is present everywhere. Some people say, where is God? God is everywhere, but he doesn't move everywhere. He moves in those places where there portals are activated, where there is hunger, where there is a cry, there is thirst, something that stimulates God into action, into movement in that place. And so when the Lord opened up these laws to me, he told me that where I will be, I will stimulate the movement of God no matter where I'd be, either locally or personally in my own prayer closet or wherever he's sending me. And you know what? With healings, wonders, signs, and deliverance, all these things were happening. We couldn't even let everybody testify. What's the biggest thing that just knocked me out is his glory that was just really sucking you out of this reality into the supernatural. It was something that, in the words, you can't even explain. You have to live it through. When you come into the building and you are disappearing in time, you're disappearing from the reality, you are disappearing as an individual, you lose focus on physical things, you are being taken out, and you don't even remember seconds or minutes. You don't even feel that you have gotten older because there was no time right now. Time disappeared. I can't explain it with my, you know, simple language. I can't explain what my spirit experienced, but I was shocked with one of the signs or wonders that was for me personally, was that we all disappeared in time. And when the whole conference is great, wonderful, packed conference, according to in time as well, I would that worship would be more than an hour. Every message would be more than 2 hours. Services were packed. Everybody said, why is it so little? What happened? It's not enough. And then, you know, this time was gone. It disappeared. Sometimes it happens with us here, as if you just sat down and you get up and what happened? Where did time go? Over there, it was on this massive level. Every day, every service, we were just disappearing in time. We didn't feel time. You know how some people say,
you lost the awareness of time.
You lost the awareness of time. You cannot be aware of any time. How should I translate it? We lost in time. We stopped feeling or being aware of time. You know what is awareness of time? This can be only understood. You know, we're sitting here, we are aware of every moment. We feel time right now. We feel how I speak. You feel tiredness. You might feel yourself. You feel how your legs are tired. But you feel time. We live in it to such an extent that we don't understand what does it mean to be outside of time. And when you come outside of time, you lose this awareness. This ability to feel time, and I didn't understand. I opened up my notes and I didn't understand what just happened. I look at the clock, my watch, and then 2.5 hours went by. And the last message, it was just like, that's it, I have to end it right there and then, because I didn't even go through half of my message. I just shut my nose down and I said, that's it, amen, because apparently this isn't finishing. This is like a never-ending conference. You know, this is the first time in my life, this whole conference was... This just disappeared in time. Those of you that were there experienced it. From the side, it looks like their time is ticking by, but when you're in that atmosphere, there was no time. You, as an individual, as if the spiritual world just swallowed you whole, and when you would come out, and you wouldn't understand what happened, you understood at that conference, some people understood what is eternity. Eternity is the loss of time. You are coming from one substance into another substance where there is no time, where there is eternity. This was shocking every team member. They felt it. What happened? Why is it so short? I've counted in time. I said, this is one of the longest conferences that I've ever done. It was very unique. This is my personal testimony. I'm thankful to God for that. I said, Lord, swallow me completely whole into your presence. This is it. This is the reality of the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. You do not live in this world. You don't feel time. You really don't care what is happening, where, what crisis, what's happening to the market. You really don't care about that. What you care is the reality of His kingdom. And this is the very meaning of our life, church. So, it's time to go into the Word, or we're going to disappear in time again. We're going to lose all awareness of it. Today I want to talk to you about one of the things that sat down and I wrote it as a prophecy. You know, I said, Lord, here are my hands. This is my, here's my spirit, because you know what? I don't have time for restoration. I am constantly in this movement, and I said, Lord, here I am. Create through me and praise the Lord that at one point in time, I taught myself how to type with all of my fingers. Who knows how, how wonderful it is to type with all of your fingers. You know, to write a letter, that takes a while. And I'm sitting there somewhere in a different reality, and my fingers are typing and typing. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. So, my message today is called Conflict of Two Substances. Eternal conflict of two substances. No matter what time you live in, if you try to find God, you will always encounter a conflict. Without God, there is no conflict. And the more serious the conflict, the deeper the revelation that this conflict is based upon. You understand me? Listen to me very carefully. Conflict of two substances. Eternal conflict. The Old Testament talked about it. Jesus Christ himself shared about it as well. What is this conflict? Why do we need it? Masses of Christians, because of this conflict, don't want it. But conflict testifies that this is the real movement of God. If there would be no God, there would be no conflict. And everywhere where God was, there was always some sort of conflict. Open up your Bible. Well, you understand me? Listen. What is reality? Any of you ever asked God this question about reality? I wanted to test the other side of reality. What is reality? What is reality? What is it? Reality. Why is it this way? Why is it not other way? Reality is nothing but the life that someone wanted to bring and to confirm it. Someone wanted to bring it and affirm it here. You know, by being in Germany, in different countries, you went through Switzerland. We won one of the beautiful countries. My Lord, it's as if they vacuumed the freeways there. I was shocked at the cleanliness of the country. Then they told me, what are you amazed at? The money of all the world is in the Switzerland and the Swiss banks. They have plenty of money to vacuum everything. You know, I was shocked that in the forest they mow the lawn. I tell you the truth, if some of you were ever in Switzerland, you will fall right there and you'll be shocked by how clean the place is. You see the forest, everything is orderly. I say here, they can bring order onto the shoulder on the road, but in Switzerland, everything is in order, everything is mowed and taken care of. What am I saying? It's somebody's reality, you understand? Somebody said, but we will mow the lawn everywhere. You come into Italy. You know, some people say it's better not to say anything than to say something bad. You know, I love Italy, her history. But as soon as we went through the border, we noticed it's dirty. Right away, after vacuumed freeways, it's smacking you in the face, and you can't understand, what is this on the streets? And has a scent. It's also somebody's reality. I'm not speaking anything bad. People are wonderful everywhere. God is everywhere. I'm just stating facts here that what is reality? Reality is that someone confirmed something. This is how it is right now. This is what reality is. Someone said, no. Not only are we not going to have any urine on the streets, we're going to take care of all the fields and take care of all the grass and all the forests. Just drop this grass anywhere. No, but they mowed it and they took it away. And it's waiting for it to be picked up and thrown out. Switzerland. Wonderful country. So, if some of you are not accepting the reality that everyone is in, if you are not, you say, I don't accept it, I am not planning on making this reality. What does it mean? It's somebody who's a protester, somebody who is rebelling. You're complaining. I'm sick of it. It's right here. I'm tired of it. It's called protest or some sort of rebellion. But if someone doesn't want to live in this lying reality that wants to change something, it's called revolution or reformation. Do you know that there will be only two things? And they will either you grumble and complain, or you will get up and say against, speak against it. You know, even Lenin, no matter how bad he was, this small man, the one that couldn't pronounce Russian words correctly, got up and said, I don't like it. And then went into the city of Shushinsk and went into his demonic portal. And you know what he created. Till this day, we are trying to get rid of the communism, and you're thinking, my God. You know what I saw? No matter where I go, Russians are everywhere. You can see them. They're the same everywhere. They look the same everywhere. I'm driving to Venice. And on the train, I turn my head. From where? From there. Another thing. We're like Asians everywhere. We're everywhere. There isn't a country where I didn't see our Russia. Yeah, you were there, of course. So if you don't like something, you want to change it, it's called reformation, revolution. But it cannot happen until those that hunger for something new, they're attached to something old. Listen to me very carefully. You understand that? You'll be a big, loud noise. It's complaining. You will not be able to reform anything or break some sort of change or revolution. Or call it whatever you want. Revolution is, everybody says, is negative. No, it's a good word. It's to upturn something. It's a change of reality. Somebody didn't want to live this way. And if Russia fell, then there was more of those that wanted to live this way. And this is their reward. You understand me? If there were a lot of normal people that said no, then this wouldn't happen. So what does that mean? This is how they wanted to live. This is how they live. You know, in America, it's the same way. There were wars, there were things happening, and someone said, no, we will not bring old. In the beginning, first I was complaining about all these feet and miles and the measurings and the weight that we have here in the States. You come from a country where everything is in kilometers, meters, and centimeters, and kilograms, and you just totally lose it because everything is different. The measurement is different. The conversion is different. And then I went deeper into the story of this country, and I understood why they did this, and I fell in love with it, because they said, we don't want your reality, you understand me? They said, we'll count differently. Our temperature will be different. Maybe it might be dumb, but it's not yours. Someone said, we will rewrite it all, and they did. And when you come here, you're shocked that you have to study everything completely differently. You teach yourself, because you come into a place where there were individuals that said, we will not do things the way England does things. We will not do the way the things that are done by the tyrants that we ran away from. We will not repeat our history. We will create a completely different reality. And they made up a completely different reality. In the beginning, I was upset by it. And then I got used to it. And when I got used to it, I understood why. And I fell in love with this country. This is my home right now, because this is the land of new, the land of new, the land of opportunity. Here you can repaint reality. First of all, your reality, and then those that are around you. Look. So in history, if two substances are encountering each other, one of them wants to live the old way and the other one does not, you cannot avoid the conflict. You know why in Christianity there's constant conflict? Hello? Because a new generation is being risen that is not planning on living the old way. Religion is constantly something that confirms a style, a lifestyle. And when a new generation comes and it hungers for new, hungers for God, hungers for something different, this is why at work you might not have conflict as bad as you might have in your family or in your church. If your church is a religious organization, you will constantly have a conflict because your spirit will want something new. But over there, there will be old principles, old meters and centimeters. You understand me? Constant conflict, and you have two choices, either to accept it or to leave this reality and start something new. Some say, okay, so we left. I tell them, get back in and do not dirty the air, because when you come out, you change something. Hello. We left. You came out, yeah, but that old did not leave. You're searching for that nonsense everywhere else, and now you want to sit upon your small throne. If you leave, be sure. Some of you ever left America? Where? We'll see. You guys totally didn't get it. Some of you ever got on a plane and said, I really don't care where to fly? No. First of all, to leave, you need to know the place of destination. You understand me? You don't need to come out if you really don't know where you're going, where you're heading. Because you could totally get in trouble that way. Some people got in trouble and said, what do we do now? What do we do now? Go back in. Shut your mouth. And go back because you told me to leave. We didn't tell you anything. We told you to go into the new. If there is nothing, you sit in the old. If you're okay with eating this macaroni, then enjoy it. I said no. Not only did I say no, I said I will make my own macaroni. You understand? My own macaroni. I want to eat mine. I want to eat from him. I will not let anybody stand between me and God. This is why I'm an individual, the one that creates conflict. This is why they hate me and they fight me. Why? Because he has no authority. Amen. I have one, and it's not pride. This is just my priority. Tell me, Elijah, who was his authority? Jeremiah, who was his authority? Isaiah, who was his authority? Okay, Moses, who was his authority? Oh, so who are you? Who do you think you are? Oh, you know what? I'm just saying, the closer you get to God, he becomes your food, your life, your father, and your friend. You understand me? To a certain degree, you can have authority on fathers, but while you have no real result or fruit, shut your mouth. Hello? We go against spiritual alchemy here, soul alchemy, where we are so obsessed with feelings and emotions. You know, and just shut your mouth and trust the Lord. So, you cannot avoid a conflict when there are two substances. They are not okay with one part is okay to learn that way and the other is not. Like, you know, some people say the Lord has called us to peace, to have peace. No. We'll read in the New Translation what Jesus said here. And the enemies, he said, I didn't come to bring peace, but what? And there are many scriptures like that, and we'll take some of them. To the peace and amongst brothers, yeah, where the Lord has called us to peace, but not to peace with those people. Jesus himself was not very peaceful with certain individuals. He would come out and say, the pit of snakes. It's not a very peaceful phrase. You are the children of the devil. Jesus, we just started getting good relationship here. Just sat down. And disciples come and say, Jesus will tell you in secret. You went against all of our meetings, evangelizing meetings. Why? What? Because just now that word that you just said, it went against everybody we worked with. You know why I like Jesus? I like Jesus. He is calm and at peace. He really doesn't care because he knows Father so close. He knows his will. He says, stop, stop, stop. The tree that has not been planted by my Father will be rooted out. He says, relax. In other words, what is mine cannot stumble. He would speak the same phrases. You will eat my flesh and drink my blood. 70 got up and left, and the other remained. So what Father has planted cannot be uprooted. But the things the Father did not plant, yes. And you know, we're like strange Christians. We chase the things that the Father did not plant, and we try to explain it to Him. We'll explain to you that Shapovalov meant what he meant here. Spit on it and forget about it. They will never understand it because their Father did not plant them. The ones that Father did plant, you don't need to explain anything to them. He might make a mistake, he'll spit, leave, smack his head against the wall, and come back in a month and say, that's it. This is my place. Why? Because the Father has planted him. He'll make circles, he makes circles, but in the end, you'll come back. If you tell somebody to listen and they can't, don't worry about it. Then it's not, of the Father. If you stumble, you say you're stumbling, then get up and leave. You don't want to leave. Why? Because the Father planted you here. Concentration is not upon me. It's upon the Father here. Look. The ones that are victorious are the ones that have nothing to lose in history, in revolution. Who would win in conflict? I went into history in history. Brother Google let me read it all. I went through history. I read it. I looked at movies. Who is victorious? Who is victorious? Victorious are those that have nothing to lose. And death for them is something that is not irrelevant because they're not planning on living this way anymore. The ones that are victorious are the ones that no longer want to live this way. They do everything possible and they try to come down and sit peacefully. But inside of you, the Spirit of Christ, it does not allow you to accept death. And you understand, if it was possible to leave, to just leave somewhere. Beloved, I want to ask you a question. Why is it that Satan holds on to the church so much? Some say, oh, local church is not of God. This is nonsense. Everything that God is doing, all these buildings, forget about it. It's all virtual. Stop, stop, stop. Hold on. Hold the horses. Yes, ask a question. Why is it Satan battles after a local church and battles this way like nothing else? Because this is the creator of Christ himself. Why doesn't he want to just tell him to go away? Why is it that the devil said, do not live together? He takes two men and he said, we will marry you. He's not against marriage. He's for marriage, but perverted marriage. He's after sexual relations, but perverted. Why? Because this is all creation of God. It would have been easy to just went our own way. No. He hates marriage. He hates men and a wife that love each other. They want to be united as one. Every time when this happens, it reminds him that what's going to happen in the future. With Christ, there's going to be a wedding. That's why in the old days when he tried to pervert the DNA of a man, this is what he's trying to do with the church. Pervert the church because the church has to encounter God. It's all awesome to be virtually, but you have to be locally, revolutionary centers, parts of the body of Christ. You know why I know that this is a local church, this is God, because the devil would never, ever in his life would battle for it to be here. Beloved, every denomination has a local church. Take every denomination. Everywhere there is a man or a group of people that gather, no matter what they call themselves. Why? Because the devil wants to pervert what God has created. Wants to pervert it and take out the most important thing. Take power. Wait for Jesus for eternity. You understand what I'm saying? You're saying something for yourself? Listen to me. This is needed for your spirit. Again and again, you need to confirm, make this confirmation for yourself, who you are, why you're here. We're not out of this world. Like a rule, the one that wins is the one that has nothing to lose.
Бог провел меня через мои достаточные случаи со столкновением с духом смерти.
My incidents, my encounters with the spirit of death, spirit of religion, spiritual prostitution, where leaders of the church are sold out to sin. They do things in hidden, in hiding, they lie. I've seen it all with my own eyes. I grew up in this darkness. I said, Lord, how long?
До каких пор?
How long?
До каких пор?
How long? We're going to see this and look at this. How long are we all going to know this and just let it go? But everybody's this way. No, not everybody is this way. There are the remnants. There is a remnant that hungers for purity and holiness. There is a remnant that did not bow down their knees before Baal. There is that remnant, these women, these grandmas, these young teenagers, men and women that said, no, I hunger for the reality of God. I will not shut my eyes any longer. Oh, what I've called into my life. These are my first words in this context that left my mouth. I wasn't even ready what happened afterwards. And then I just said this one thing, one, two, three, I guess you can't avoid the conflict. So come on. You know what I'm saying? You know that sometimes you go through this line of no return. You know, I've stepped it long ago. I have nothing to prove to anybody. You need to teach me life. You know, I went through life. I've ate it all. Beloved, everything has been received by God. Now the time to make a choice. Choice. Do you want to be on the side of the truth? Not just side of the truth, but shine in the truth. Speak for the truth. Every time, speak against evil and speak His word without compromise and sit there and bite on cookies, drink tea and grumble mumble. Lord, I don't support them. So get up and say so. Get up or leave if you don't support them. Look. I personally, for myself, decided that no longer do I accept to live in their dead reality. I said, Lord, I will take the step further. I will take it further. I am ready, Lord, to bring freedom to those that hunger for it. I will speak for the truth. Maybe I'm by myself, but I'm sure there are many, many more. Two, three. Their spines will become straight. How long are we going to eat this and look at this? This harlot is going to call herself the Church of Christ. You know, this is what I'm shocked at. This is what I'm shocked. You're shocked by my words? Oh, buckle up. If we wouldn't react to these words, even though it's in the Bible, it's in the scripture, it's talking about a harlot, a whore, in other words, if we would react to who she is, what she does, by going through encounters, making encounters for over 7 years, I've heard so many things. I didn't hear stuff like this in those families that are not Christians. I didn't hear it in the families of doctors and educated families, people who are not Christians. But the things that I've heard and seen, the pain and the destruction, because, for instance, a father, because the mother is pregnant, he is raping his daughter. His daughter grew up in his bed. And you know, when you hear these testimonies, you totally lose your head and say, Lord, this disease is called a minister of Christ. This is what I am sick of. If some of you are not sick of it, I am sick of it. I've had it all. And I can only imagine what God himself experiences when he sees this. I can only imagine what God himself experiences. I don't care about the sin. I care the fact that you, sicko, you upon a mantle of God upon yourself and call yourself a priest. Get off. Get on your knees. Shut your mouth. Do not speak about God. You have no right. You have no legal right to say that. This is what I'm amazed by in the body of Christ. And they're flipped out by my phrases that, you know what, I didn't even get into the Bible. Like, the Bible is full of words that some people might find upsetting. Disciples took it way more serious. We didn't even get to that level. They're upset or flipped out by the way I look, but they're not flipping out by the fact what the pastor does. They don't care. It's all good. We're covered. We're covering it with love. In the time where Ananias and Sapphira, they just couldn't handle it, and they died right there and then when God says, where is my purity? Where are those that will stand for the truth? Where are they? Where are, will, when I will come, will I find the ones that want to be with me? Just simply be with me. Jesus. You will not be able to do anything while you live the reality that you were born in. You will not be able to change the structure while you are part of it. You understand what I'm saying here? You cannot change anything while you're still part of the structure. So, everyone that the Lord used to change reality were disconnected. They were outside of the main reality. And we'll talk about that today. They were disconnected. They were outside. Lord needed to use Moses, so he disconnected him. God needed to use Isaiah. He disconnected him. God needed to use John the Baptist. He disconnected him. Daniel, he was disconnected as well. He was not in amongst his people. He was somewhere else. And I could go on and on and on and on. And names here. God needed disciples. He would take one from the boat. From his work, he disconnected from the reality. You cannot live over there and change something. You need to be disconnected, be outside. God will disconnect you like he disconnected me. He will disconnect you. Ask him. Say, I don't want to live this way. Help me, Lord. Tell me to walk on water. Tell me to walk on water. Walk. And Peter disconnected from the main reality. Come on, walk, walk. You want it? You will go. If you're playing games, continue playing your games. A lot of people try to change the reality. As successfully as the one who drowns is trying to save himself with his own arm by pulling himself by his hair. You know, it's silly. Silly, silly. It's this picture. Well, for instance, we'll change something. It's the one that is drowning. He grabs himself by his head and takes himself out of the water. That doesn't happen. He can only be taken out of the water by the one who's not in the water. The one either they throw in a raft or some sort of lifesaver and pull him out. You have to be outside of the element to do something. Some people say the one that drowns, you can't even come close to him because even the one that came close to him, he will drag him down to the bottom. And some people, when they practice to be lifesavers, they make sure they tell him, let this person gulp enough water down so that he will come down. It will be easier for you to bring him out. You understand that? Reality, reality, reality. Disconnection from reality. Church does not understand this element of war. They go through defeat after defeat. They try to change politics by being part of politics. Church tries to be victorious over the spirit of this age by being completely in a covenant with the spirit of this age, by living with the spirit of this age, and then never ever destroy the principles, never ever disconnected itself. Oh, my work has been taken away. Maybe God himself took your work away from you. Maybe this work was not... Right, one. You know why is it that you get some sort of work and everything starts falling apart? Guess why? It happens to 99% of people. They take a step back and say, no, no, this is something different. They don't want to lose this connection. They don't want to lose this web that they're so comfortable in. Everything is connected. Everything is paid for. We don't want to lose that. But God says, I want to disconnect you, sonny. Daughter, let me disconnect you from that. Abraham, let me disconnect you from the love towards you, son. Let me disconnect you. Let me take you away from your motorcycle. Let me take you away from the love towards your car. Let me take you away from the love towards your work. Oh, that's a completely different song. It's touched something, huh? You cannot take things from the house until you bind the owner. You know, we read the Bible as if Jesus was just speaking phrases here and there, right and left. It's as we are sitting there eating cookies, drinking beverages, and just talking. How's life? It's all good. And this is how we think Jesus was speaking. You know what? Every word that he said has such meanings. We'd read the same scripture our whole life. You're going to have your revelations. I'm going to have my revelations upon the same scripture. To the end of our life. This is what God. This is how God speaks. It's not us. These are not the same revelations as we get. When Jesus was speaking or saying something, he meant it.
Mark 3:27.
From this moment, I should stop saying that I read from New Translation. I think everybody got it, I think, by now. So, Mark 3:27. But no one can go into a strong man's house and ransack his household, goods right and left. This is our Christianity. Oh, we will capture it. We will take it. We will take it. Come into the territory. Everything has been given to us. Who is us? Church, yes, but who are you? You're a church? I'm here with you together. We're together.
Шлангуемся тут в порталах, аллилуйя.
We're doing things portals, what?
Ты являешься частью.
Are you a part?
Ты являешься частью.
Are you a part?
Я с вами. Нет, ты не с нами.
You're with us. No, you're not with us.
Если ты с нами, ты с нами.
If you're with us, you're with us.
Оно на тебя работает.
It works for you. You're in it. You're part of it.
Тебе не нужно что-то предпринимать. You don't
need to do something about it. Look. But no one can go into a strong man's house and ransack his house. I said, I say, yes, Jesus, they can. They're called charismatic people. Yes, they can. Jesus, rewrite this. Rewrite this. Yes, they can. I've seen it with my own eyes. But what happened afterwards is completely different. The outcome of it was different. They would come into the house. But then would come out. Maybe they wouldn't come out. They'd probably fly out, crawl out through a chimney. Look. But no one can go into a strong man's house and attack his household, goods right and left, and seize them as a plunder unless he first binds a strong man. And this word binds, no one, some people don't understand. I want you to look at it right now. Unless he first binds, bind, to bind is a conflict. You understand me? It's a conflict. This is where Jesus, right away, let's not go any further, but stop here. Guys, you cannot enter. Who is this parable for? It's for us. We want to leave this world. We want to disconnect. We want to dominate in this world. We need to bind someone. Or second thing is to make covenant with him. This is what the devil tried to do in the desert with Jesus. You remember that in the wilderness when he was tempted him. So, Jesus went the hard way. He said, no, no, no. This is what I'm going to do to you. Knock you out. You understand there are two ways. You either sign a contract with the spirit of this age, and it's a covenant, everything is great, like on butter, until you do really get real problems. Or there is a way with Jesus. You go the path of victory over flesh, number one, and the path of disconnection from this realm, from the demonic age. And then you don't understand. They have crisis, and it's not crisis for you. Some people totally don't get it. They say, crisis, we have crisis. No, 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 no. We don't have crisis. The spirit of this age has it, and everyone who's connected to it has a crisis. And now ask yourself a question. Who are you? Did you go through crisis? Let's cry together. You're connected. Let's take your cable out of the outlet. If they took it away from you, it's not yours. Tell me, if something that's truly yours, can they take it away from you? I know our Slavic people. What? Go buy your own. My two houses were taken away. I don't believe that you could take away two houses away from a Russian guy. You lay there and complain that I will not give it away. They took your house away? Then it's not yours. Keep on sleeping peacefully. Did you get this revelation? This is mine. No, no, no. If it's mine, you can't take it away. In other words, it cannot be taken away. Why? Because it's probably not yours. If they took away your house and this and that, thank God for it. Let the spirit of this age leave with all its garbage and relax. And Venya said, amen. He had three houses and they were taken away. Talk to him. Hallelujah. Wonderful house you had. We drank tea there. Marble everywhere.
Marble everywhere. Свобода от мрамора.
Freedom from marble.
Amen.
Amen.
На этой земле нет ничего нашего. Посмотри в свою.
There's nothing of ours upon this earth, really.
Это называется аренда на несколько.
This is called rent or lease for a certain amount of time. Some people say, "Oh, it's mine. It's not yours. You're not yours. It's not yours. After your death, no one will even ask about you. There will be two substances that will discuss things about your life. What? I didn't get it. What am I evangelizing somewhere? Hello.
Я пришел рассказать вам о живом Христе.
I came to tell you about a live God, Christ.
Ты не тичу своего, твоя душа.
You have nothing that is of yours.
Тебе.
Your soul, it doesn't belong to you.
Не рождена свыше, принадлежит тьме.
If it's not born from above, it belongs to darkness. If it's born from above, it still belongs to God. The angels will come and get you.
Ты не войдешь по ту сторону мира, скажешь, наконец-то.
You will not enter the eternity this way and say, finally, I'm home. Home? You'll do this. Everything is so wonderful. Praise the Lord that I've made it to say this wonderful prayer. I'm home. This is his house. Say thank you that you were even taken in. If it wasn't for the blood of Christ, oh my gosh, we'd have a completely different house and there without air conditioning. Hallelujah.
Смотри.
Look.
От Марка 3:27, так назад.
Mark 3:27. But no one can go into the strongman's house and ransack his household, the right and left, and seize them as a plunder, unless he first binds the strong man's. Then indeed he may plunder his house. These are the words of Jesus. He says, guys, you don't get it. You want to be victorious over the spirit of the sage by living in his house? You want to be victorious over the spirit of the sage, and church wants to be victorious over the spirit of the sage this way.
Успели камеры? Не успели.
The cameras, did the cameras catch me? No. No, they didn't catch me. You have to chase after me. You can't sleep on camera.
А если туда?
So church wants to quietly. She says, we're gonna vote. We're gonna vote against the homosexuals. We're gonna vote against abortions. Nonsense. Huge nonsense.
Почему?
Why?
Потому что ты не можешь.
Because you cannot bind the strong. You can't take the strong man's things until you bind him. But you a whore cannot bind him. Only the church can bind him. And the war is not against voting. The war is against will the one that has authority and power. Will she rise up? The war is against you so that you will not get up. So that you will not get up. So that you will not rise up. So that you will continue eating this nonsense, would want this nonsense to live and cry. Oh, my Lord. What should I do? Jesus tells all of us that the conflict is unavoidable. Some people think, why did I have this conflict? These brothers and sisters, why did I have conflict? This was my pastor. These were my leaders. Why is it? As soon as I grab onto it, right away, this one's against me. Now, this tells you who is who. You understand me? This is the very center of it. It tells you who is who around you. It tells you, I was thinking, this is my mom. I didn't see my mother doing this until I came to God. And she says, no, you have to come to our God. The one that has been conferred by all these people, so many years, he's ours. So what if he doesn't do anything? At least he's ours. We're used to him. He's wonderful.
Все разрешает.
Allows everything. And our conscience does not even judge us when we eat nonsense every day. And you say, no. You think you will run away from the conflict? You think you want to be with God and pass by the conflict? I feel sorry for you. I haven't seen people that live for real with God and they ran away from conflict. I haven't seen it, not a single person. If there is someone that has been accepted by everybody until they still accept them, come after the service. I just want to bow down before you because Christ himself never even got to that level. Lord, you are worthy of power and praise and glory because Jesus himself did not achieve that. Disciples didn't stand next to it. Let's read on. Matthew 10, 34-36. Pay attention. Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. Period. Everything that could possibly be lost was lost. You want to tell me that Christ called us to peace? He was the very first person that would start conflicts. And he's the one that started revolution and reformation, blood in Israel. You tell me, to peace, the Lord has brought, bring peace to earth amongst who? Read what the Lord said. Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. It says, oh, Jesus came to bring peace, peace, peace on earth when the restoration of Israel is going to happen. They would ask disciples, isn't it the time? And they tell him, sit. Peace, peace, peace. Now everybody's going to be at peace. We're all going to be united. Everybody's going to be united. What? You want to bring peace between Christ and Baal? You want to bring world peace? I didn't even know how lost you are. Peace? Read from the very beginning of the Bible, from the Old Testament, look where God brings everything to peace. God clearly speaks, I am the only God, there is no other gods but me. And he confirmed it right there and then. You know, I like God, he has a sense of humor. He says, I've tested, I've tried, there isn't any. Remember that scripture.
He
says, I checked myself.
He
says, there's no other God but me. God says, guys, you don't need to think. I've checked it all. I'm the only God.
So
it's okay, you can be friends with me. I like our father, he's so wonderful. Look, do not think that I've come to bring peace upon the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Period. What sword symbolizes? The word. The word. Sword. Separation. Why is there a slogan at Transformation Center? What is that? The Lord has called us into peace, right? I don't understand. What am I going to cut? Meat now? Yes. It's called flesh. You know how much this logo cut through meat? You understand what I'm saying here? Smile. It's okay. It's all good. You haven't been kicked out of your work just yet. Maybe they did. Give praise to God anyway. Look. You know what? In the old translation, quite a few of these scriptures are changed. Look how nice it sounds. I have not come to bring a peace but sword, for I have come to part asunder a man from his father. In the old translation, it is written, the father will go against the son. Jesus says, no. Translate my words correctly, guys. So, this is what the original says. For I have come to part asunder a man from his father. Jesus! What is that? I just finally figured out my relationship with my father. For I've come, Jesus says, I come here to bring disorder amongst you. And all these funny faces look at me.
Библию читай.
I read the Bible.
Смотри.
Look. For I have come to part asunder a man from his father and a daughter from her mother, and a newly married wife from her mother-in-law. And 36, I totally love it. And a man's foe will be they of his own household. And I was thinking, Lord, what is this? This means, as soon as I got to know you, that means that this, I'm going to have atomic warfare? Amen. Chemical war. My God. You're understanding the depth of this word. Understand the depth of these words. I thank God that my mother is here. Some of you are not so lucky. Your mom and daddy, they cursed you, and the scripture is fulfilled here. It's okay. I came to bring war. Not that a father and a son just argued. No. I'm not going to drink tea with you today. Jesus wasn't talking about that war. He's speaking about a conflict of spirit, conflict of two things here. He's speaking about a conflict of two worlds. You understand what Jesus is saying here? Have you noticed how it is not written that I came, that father will go against mother? You notice what's not written in there? It is not written that father will go against mother, for son to go against daughter. No, pay attention. It is written that father against son, daughter against mother. What does that say? Clear distinction between generations. Separation between generations here. It speaks of the fact that mother, daughter, son, father, daughter-in-law, and mother-in-law. We can go on and on. And what is Jesus meaning here? He says that I will separate these generations. Generations is different outlooks, different understanding, different wineskins, different acceptance, different. This is what it is. This is it. This is a complete flip out for the spirit of this age, because in the original it is written that Jesus himself is the reason for the separation between generations. In the original it is written, those of you that have the translation, you can read it. Jesus says, I am the reason that you have this separation between you. Before me, everything was okay. Because before me, everything was in the flesh. When I come, I give alternative spirit. And when you go into my side, you'll understand right away how all these two substances, conflict between these two substances happens. His words go even deeper than you possibly understand. It's not just an argument between a father and a son. It's a encountering two worlds. It's a war between two worlds. It's old wineskin and new wineskin, different wines, new and old. Remember, the conflict and separation proves that this is done by God. You understand me? There are any wise people here. There's no conflict. There's no movement. Conflict proves. I'm not saying that you've stole something and somebody chases you. No. I'm speaking of the conflict between two substances, between religion and the Spirit of God, inner conflicts. It proves to you that this is done by God. Otherwise, why? Otherwise, why should we have this conflict? What did we not have in common? Look. It proves that the more serious the conflict, the more serious is the truth that this conflict is happening over. When God tries to change the reality, listen to me very carefully. He, when God wants to change the reality, He often takes an individual and disconnects him from that reality that he grew up in or lived in. And then God places him into that atmosphere where he has to live and feed until complete disconnection happens. You understand? For instance, David, we talk about him often, we still will talk about him. David, he was that individual that was disconnected. He was disconnected not in flesh, but also completely in every way. He wasn't even invited. They didn't even consider him when they were coronating people into kings. He was somewhere out there. He was disconnected, but he was so unique. His disconnection was so unique is that when he came into the field, he wasn't even bothered by the situation. He didn't try. Some people say, you enter into our situation. Try to understand us. Don't you dare do that. As soon as you enter into that situation, that's it. Now, they bury you together with that person. You know that David's brothers, David comes and says, what's going to happen with a person that will kill that person that's just speaking against the armies of God? What's going to happen? And the brothers say, oh, you came to look at the war here. No. Don't tell me the things that you came to do here. Hello. Don't tell me how you think I'm going to do things. You're judging according to yourself. We can scream hoorays in the back row somewhere. You know what they want to do? They want to place him there and say, David, you have to understand this, enter into our situation.
Sit down.
To eat with us.
Sit down.
We'll dress you correctly and you listen to 40 days and you'll understand our pain. Somebody understand what I'm saying here? And some say yes. And they come to me and say, Andre, you speak. You're so rude. You need to listen. Listened. Enough. That's it. I've had it. You cannot enter into that situation. You cannot be in their shoes. As soon as you do that, you put on their armor, and you sit together with all of them, and you will continue sitting there listening to the spirit of this age and look at what he's doing. Look. God takes a person, disconnects him to such an extent that you have no right. I look sometimes in church, I see when God starts disconnecting people, that you sit together with your friends and they don't understand you. Come to work, nothing is working out. You went here and there, nothing is working out. Everything is falling apart. Everybody's leaving. What is happening? God is disconnecting. Go with the process. Say, God, what is from you, it's going to stay and remain.
Sometimes nothing is left. Praise to God. Look, remember Elijah? Not only he lived, not only he did not live by the reality of Ahab and Jezebel, remember, that was one of the worst times in Israel. It was the demonic spirit of Jezebel that worked globally.
You know, in order for you to call something by the name, it must have took a place, of a dramatic history. Elijah was disconnected, but not only that, he changed the reality. Remember what he did? Why could he do that? Look. We live in that time where church got to the point of dirty and disgusting place that something like a huge conflict will come. The worst times come, the brighter the light will shine. The darker it is, the lighter it will be. You know why people jump away from you? Because they know, because you are the light. There are those things that live underground, and once they see the light, they see you, they run out. They have their own gods, they have their own teachers. They don't like to see something that makes sense, something that is light.
Church got to the point that conflict is irresistible. Why? Why do we don't do anything? We just try to be ourselves, and look what happens to us. Do we break something? Do we give out brochures and protests? Do we say this person is a donkey, this person is a liar? And do we say this church and this church and this pastor does this and this and this? No, we don't do that. We as a church try to be who we are, and the whole world sees us. And the whole world says they don't like us. Our neighbor can be who they want to be, but when we become who we are, the demonic spirit goes against us. The spirit that lives in the church, this is what the church is. And once you try to recreate the reality of the church, they go against. They call you the false prophet, the false teacher. You think you can go away from that? No, you're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it. You will not run away from the conflict. It will chase you down. During the times of Jesus, he was just himself. Did he do anything bad? He just healed a woman. He just healed people, didn't he? And they said, we will kill him. Why? Explain me why. He didn't say anything. He just came to the synagogue. He sat there, saw a woman that needed a healing. Remember? He just wanted to see if anyone needed his help. And so he would come up to people and ask, do you want to walk? And they would say yes. And what happened? Almost a war. People said, oh, we know that person who told you can walk. He is evil. He was as simple as polka dot boxers.
Я был вот такой, сейчас такой. Говорит, я был слеп, я вижу, я был никакой, я ничего не мог делать.
The person who got healed, he said, I was blind, now I see, and I don't know what you're talking about. How can he be evil?
Он говорит, ну, в ваших глазах, он кто хочет.
If you see him bad, evil, fine. There are results, they torture those who are against us. You know, not only we have good letters come to our mail, we have bad letters that come as well. They call us evil. They said, if it was my will, I would bind your church as heaven and praise God, you don't have that will, and you don't have that power. We got a letter that said, oh, my kids came out of my church, and now they listen to you over internet, and I wish that never happened. We have different kinds of letters come. It's the truth. We don't try to put our information into someone. They choose it themselves. Look. And I'm out of time. Now, 1 Kings 16:31. I will be going really fast. 31. I will read about Ahab. And then I will read about Elijah. 1 Kings 16:31. He sinned in the same way as Jeroboam, son of Nebat. But he did even worse things. He married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, the king of Sidon. Then Ahab began to serve Baal to worship him. He built a temple in Samaria for worshiping Baal to put an altar there for Baal. Ahab also made an idol for worshiping Asherah. He did more things to make the Lord, the God of Israel, angry than all the other kings before him. Now, further on. During the time of Ahab... Now, 17. Chapter 17.
Now Elijah the Tishbite was a prophet from the Seder of Gilead. I serve the Lord of the God of Israel. Elijah said to Ahab, as surely as the Lord lives, no rain or dew will fall during the next few years unless I command it.
Oh, how much I like it. How much I like it. Lord, raise up those men who said, who would come to a king and said, straight up, wouldn't you to vote? Wouldn't you say, hey, I'm Elijah, can I sit at you at your bench here with you? I want to meet you. I want to take a picture with you idiots. Because they did so much bad stuff to the world that no one like now realizes that. You look at how they try to, you know, come and sit with them. Oh Lord, look at me, I'm almost there. You go deeper and deeper into the darkness. Where did you move? I love those people. I wait for that time to come. I wait for those people who are disconnected and who will not be afraid of conflict, who will not sit and vote, who will not sit and who will just come and say straight up, you guys sinned. Guess why I'm here, Ahab? The heaven is closed for you now? And now, Ahab didn't pay attention to that, because if he did, he would have grabbed Elijah and not let him go. No one believed Elijah. And Elijah comes and says, the heaven is closed for you, the clouds are gone, no rain for you, no rain for you, no water for you. Forget about it. What happens? Look, what happens then? Then the Lord spoke to his world, to his word, and to Elijah, leave this place and go to... Leave this place and go east and hide near Kereth Rimon. East of Jordan River. Listen carefully. Some of you don't understand. You think that they got it all and they're just sitting there. Elijah was disconnected. He leave from there. That's what he was committed. You may drink from the stream, and I have commanded my ravens to bring you food there. So Elijah did what the Lord said. He went to Kereth Rimon, east to the, of the Jordan, and lived there. But the birds and the birds brought Elijah the bread and the meat every morning and evening, and he drank water from the stream. This is the strong rule here, spiritual rule. First, leave the place, and second of all, don't eat their food. God will support you. God said, from now on, you may not be part of this nation. You have to step apart. And every time we read that, read all of it. God disconnected all. All the people who he used were disconnected. Remember the young rich guy who he tried to disconnect, and he didn't disconnect. That is the rule of disconnection. First he said not to leave, to move from that nation, and not to eat their food. Now I'm finishing up. Like Moses, for instance, Isaiah, David, and others, they followed that discipline. They had to. They were supposed to be disconnected. We cannot run away from the conflict. And I'm watching you, and I wonder, how many of you are ready to go under the death for the Christ? How many of you? I just want to walk by the rose, look at your eyes and ask you, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? Why? You came here for church? Why? Why did you come? Just for the church? I want to look in everyone's eyes and ask you, what are you doing here? What's here? What is here? What's here?
How many of you really want God here? How many of you? How many of you? How many of you? That's very little. Very little. What if we get pushed on? What if we won't have food to eat? Who are you ready to? Who is ready to go? Or are you here while you still have money and while people still are nice to you? Are you ready to go under the knife so that people can see the light? Who? Who is ready? Who? I believe there are a few. That's why we're here. I'm just wondering how many of us are here who are like that. You know that you cannot run away from the conflict. You will not run away from it. You cannot escape it. We're stepping into a huge conflict. We're having a bomb, explosion coming, reformation. It's all growing. You know, we don't see anything. We live here in America and we don't see the news or anything. We don't see what happens around us. But I'll tell you, when I was in Germany, you know, I was there and a lot of things happened. I want new things to happen now. I don't want people to come here, step to the portal, have the little feeling, and then leave the church. No, I want new souls. I want to see new faces. I want to see new glory. I want to see new people who will go with us, who will go further on with us. I want the new wave. I want the new time. Seriously, why are you here? Be honest, why are you here? I want life, I want God, I want His reality. I don't want to wear a mask. I want God. I want God. I want God, I want His reality. I don't want to be as a member and be in a church full of people. No, I want God. I want reality of His kingdom. I want His life. I want to see His sons and daughters.
We
will change the reality.
We will,
and each message is a bomb that is ready to explode. It comes and it waits for that time to explode. And when the time comes, it explodes and it hits everyone. If we are not ready to live by the reality that is coming,
we cannot escape the conflict.
If you want major reformations and major changes, prepare for a conflict. The first who will go against you in a conflict, the people you will go live with.
We are
in a conflict. We're in a war. His bride will rise up. His bride must rise up. It must rise up. We will wake her up. We will wake up. We will stand up. Prepare for the great conflict of two substances. Why can't we escape the victory? Because we have nothing to lose. Tell me, what position can I lose? What can I lose? My pastorship? No. Because when God tells you you're a pastor, it will be in your DNA. And no matter where you will be, you will teach. You will teach your nation. You will teach the generation. The instruments don't speak of what you are. The DNA that is inside of you speaks of what you are. No one can take away what you are. It is impossible. Do you understand me? Give God glory. Let's rise up.
I would continue. This is intensive message, and sometimes I get into this message and I get lost, and I want to speak and speak and speak until those people will arise, the people who are ready to lose everything, who are ready to lose everything and everyone, who are ready to leave everything. Lose everything. I don't need people to recognize I want God.
Do you understand?
The whole point of my life is not you, it's Him. It's not the microphone or the camera. I don't need the popularity. I want to see His church. I want to see His church. I want God. I don't need anything. I want God. I want His reality, the reality of His kingdom. I want His life. I want to see Him. Beloved, show up. Rise up. Lord, raise up your church. Raise up your